Good morning, friends. It's good to see everyone here today. I'm Toph. Oh, bless you. Thank you. I am the worship director here at Oak Church, and I'm really excited to be here and share the good news with you all today. Let's begin with our scripture reading. This is a reading from Colossians 3, verse 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body, and be thankful people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, and do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. So 2 weeks ago, I experienced firsthand the virtues that Paul lists in our passage this morning: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, all from a bunch of middle and high school kids. I was with a group of 40 adults and 80 kids. We were at a progressive youth camp up in the mountains of Laurel Springs, which is about an hour north of Wilkesboro, up in the mountains there. And I had been asked by the church that I interned at last summer, Binkley Baptist Church, to help lead their youth group that week. And so we came with about 12 of us. A few of them had been with me the year before, but for most of them, it was their very first time at camp. So I don't know if you grew up like me, going to summer camp, going to youth camp or sleepaway camps. But for those who haven't, that first time might typically look something like this. You arrive knowing nobody, except maybe a friend or two. But it seems like everyone's already best friends with everybody else. Maybe you feel like you won't ever fit in, certainly not within the week. You might feel like you want to go home that very first day. But over the week, you meet some new people, and you start to make friends. Before you know it, it's the end of the week, and you're crying your little eyes out because you don't want to go home, and you certainly don't want to leave your new best friends, not for a whole nother year. It's like camp magic. And I've seen this happen to so many kids, including myself. So with my youth group the other week, it went roughly the same way for all the new campers. And a great example was this one girl, we'll call her Stacy, who seemed like she was going to get in her whole way of having fun the entire week. She had been invited to camp by two of her friends, but she didn't know anybody else. And because her friends were in different age groups than her, Stacy had been put in a small group with youth her own age, all strangers to her. So she was not a fan. One night we did this like camp trivia thing, and again, Stacy got put into a group of a bunch of strangers, and she didn't know anybody. And at one point we made eye contact, and she does this. She was so dramatic, and I loved it. We could just read each other's faces all day long. It was really great. She looked miserable. But sure enough, little by little, over the course of the night, I would catch like the slightest glimpse of her, like this little half smile, just like. And over time, that got bigger and bigger. Occasionally, there'd be like a little giggle or a laugh. And then at the end of the night, we're getting together and talking about how the day went. And she went like this. She was, "Toph, I actually had fun." It was so great. It just made me so happy. So that was the very beginning of the week. We're working towards the end. And on the very last night of camp, we have a big like communion event, a big worship gathering, and then we have a big dance party. And so at the end of the dance party, there she was, Stacy. She was up on stage in front of the whole camp with all her new best friends, jumping up and down, yelling, singing, laughing, Smash Mouth All-Star. It was so great. I got super weepy. I was so proud. It was just fun to watch like this little girl blossom. It is like camp magic, and it works like almost every time. And I'm really excited that our Oak youth this week get to go have experiences like that. This will be their first youth camp together as well. And I'm sure next week we'll hear, maybe we'll hear similar stories. Our weekly gatherings here, I was thinking about this, is actually a lot like youth camp. Though, thankfully, we don't have to wait a whole year between seeing each other. Every Sunday, we come together, we sing songs, we share a meal. Maybe we could do like a trivia night or a dance party. Smash Mouth All-Star coming through these speakers will be fun. But maybe over time, folks here who were once strangers become our closest friends. That certainly happened with me. However, this isn't camp magic. It's not even church magic. There's definitely something more going on here. And so in his book, Incarnational Ministry, a book we've been kind of looking at all summer, Samuel Wells says that the presupposition of church is that being with one another is being with God. Indeed, Jesus tells us whether two or more are gathered, there I am. He also said he's present in the last, the lost, the least among us. And furthermore, as we all bear the image of God within us, God is present in each of us through the mystery and working of the Holy Spirit. And we'll have a chance together to intimately encounter that Spirit a little later when we share in communion. And then Justin will sing, and this is true, he is among us. And that's what binds us together here this morning. So what I really love about Oak Church is we have two components to our weekly gatherings. First, we come together like this. We worship in song. We hear God's word in scripture. We confess our beliefs and our shortcomings to each other and to God. And then we share the bread and cup in communion. The other component is our weekly potluck, where we get to share a meal, make new friends, and catch up with older friends. In these two ways, worship and fellowship, we encounter the living God with reverence and with reverie. Though not every church does this, growing up, my church certainly didn't do that. Some churches might prioritize worship over fellowship, and that's not like inherently problematic, but a potential shortcoming of something like that is that when you're just kind of spending all your time in the service and out the service, it's hard to kind of develop and maintain friendships. Other churches might minimize worship for the sake of simply spending time together. And I've certainly been at many events like this that are kind of labeled as Christian, but they don't have anything to do with worship or scripture or learning about Jesus. So Samuel says that if our gatherings are only for worship, they're inadequate. But if they're seldom or never about worship, then they're incoherent. Finding that balance is really important. In the accounts of the Last Supper, Jesus told the disciples to remember him when they gathered together. Worship and fellowship. The two are interrelated and are not mutually independent of each other. In this way, we grow closer to God and to each other. We do this balancing act every single week. In a world that prioritizes productivity and achievement, maybe it's kind of like, I don't know, ironic that our gatherings seem to serve no worldly purpose. That's purpose in scare quotes. Beyond worship and fellowship. So I hate to tell you, none of us are getting a medal for attendance. None of our gatherings will convince God to love us even more than they already do. Even with all like the contemporary talk of the end of days or the apocalypse, none of our actions, collectively or individually, will bring that about. One of my favorite theologians, Marva Dawn, she lovingly refers to church gatherings as a royal waste of time. That is, to the world, we are wasting our time here. But we are doing it in the company of the Lord, creator, and sustainer of the universe, true royalty. So, but if our gatherings are a royal waste of time, what a way to spend a life together. Think about it. We come together to affirm that God has given us a better way to live in direct opposition to the values and priorities of our time. As we read earlier, Paul lists some of these in our scripture passage. Instead of staying indifferent or aloof to the issues of our time, we are told to live with compassion. Instead of living a life of cruelty, where those who look, think, or love differently than us are to be demonized or worse, we are instead to clothe ourselves with kindness. Instead of boasting loudly and arrogantly, I'll let you connect your own dots there, we are told to exhibit humility and gentleness. We come together to worship God, the one who imbues our lives with dignity, value, and meaning, all while reveling in each other's company. That, my friends, is the way to spend our lives. That is a royal waste of time. So we can take this countercultural thread a little further. In letters like we read, Colossians and other texts of the New Testament, we see the early Christian church coming to terms with what it means to follow Jesus in an era of empire. How are they to act when they come together? What are the temptations they have to overcome in order to act in selfless love toward each other? Thankfully, Scripture gives us a pretty vivid witness of all this. In Acts, for example, the coming of the Holy Spirit, what we call Pentecost, was to folks from many different nations who spoke many different languages. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, all were able to understand each other. No language or nationality was prioritized over another. Another story in Acts describes members of the church as holding all things in common and coming together to learn from the apostles and to share meals together. No one valued their own possessions, be they material or intellectual, over the flourishing of their community or their neighbor. In his letters, Paul continually warns his readers not to conform to the image of the world, that is, one that rewards power and status at the expense of others. The book of James warns the church to not rest on our spiritual laurels and inflated sense of piety, and implores Christians that they must live out their faith by performing acts of service. So, taken together, we are called as individual members of the collective body of Christ to live out the same principles and values that Jesus did. This entails everything from drawing close to those whom society tells us are untouchable, to lovingly engage in developing relationships with those who might believe differently from us, and to value others over our own inflated sense of individuality. Again, we do this every week when we gather together. We develop relationships with those who look, think, behave, and love differently from us, and in this way, we affirm and celebrate the image of God in each and every one of us. As we are divine image bearers, we worship and celebrate God together. In this way, we mirror the same love that the triune God has for themselves between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, the Father and the Spirit. And in taking communion together each week, we remember and celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Pastor Chris, he calls this act of remembrance a literal remembering ourselves back into the body of Christ. Remembered we are. So what seems like a royal waste of time to this world that we live in our own, very own age of empire, is actually packed with purpose, meaning, and value. In his book, Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer describes communion as the single most important reason that we gather together. And he has this great quote. So he says, "The fellowship of the Lord's Supper is the superlative fulfillment of Christian fellowship. As the members of the congregation are united in body and blood at the table of the Lord, so will they be together in eternity. Here the community has reached its goal. Here joy in Christ and his community is complete. The life of Christians together under the word has reached its perfection in the sacrament." On our final night at youth camp the other week, all of us, including Stacy, gathered in a big circle, and we shared communion together. The week had been pretty hard for a lot of the youth that were there. Some had come straight from traumatic family moments. I knew one who lost their best friend to epilepsy right before camp. And to be honest, I'm not sure that each and every one of the new campers found their new best friends or experienced that camp magic the same way Stacy did. But in that moment together, Jesus encountered all of us in that room. In the bread and the cup, sure, yeah, but also in the faces of all of us standing together. All of us there were united under the great equalizer of God's infinite love. And each of us were invited to encounter that living God who once gave their very life in order to unite us back into that same love. In the same way, here we are. Each of us with our own stories and our own burdens. We've sung our songs, we've passed the peace of Christ to those who may become our new friends, and we'll soon share a meal together. at the Lord's table and at the potluck table. And we'll do that again next week, and the week after that, and the week after that. Continually seeking to find the balance between worship and fellowship, and enjoying our royal waste of time together. So, Oak family, would you pray with me? I'm going to read from Every Moment Holy. This is a liturgy to begin a purposeful gathering. So would you pray with me? And so are we gathered here, uniquely in all of history, we particular people in this singular time and place. Accomplish your purposes among us, O God. Tune our hearts to the voice of your Spirit. Wake us to be present to you and to one another in these shared hours we are given. For it is you, O Lord, who have gathered us from our various places, and you alone who know our hearts and our needs. Among us today are some who arrive anxious, some who are lonely, some who suffer pain or sorrow. May we in our joys find grace to enter the sorrow of others. And among us this morning are some who arrive rejoicing, hearts made light by good news, good health, glad anticipation. May we in our sorrows find grace to embrace the joys of others. Let us prize these moments and care for one another deeply, for each of us, and our relationships to one another are precious and they're fleeting. Amen.